Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we visit with Dr. Lonnie Shipman about the King of Books, and Pastor Larry Spargimino will have an update on our mission outreach in Pakistan. Brand new resources from SWRC are now available. Josh Davis's brand new book, Rise of the One World Mind, shows the reader how to thrive under the threat of globalism. Micah Van Hus's new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Join Micah as he takes a look inside the secret societies that have shaped our world today. Rise of the One World Mind and Secret Societies, two brand new resources available for you and your family from SWRC. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Here's today's host, Clayton Van Hus.
We're so glad you have joined us for Watchmen on the Wall. I am your host today, Clayton Van Hus, and I am joined by Dr. Lonnie Shipman. Dr. Lonnie Shipman is no stranger to our Watchmen on the Wall listeners. Dr. Shipman, thank you for joining us today.
It's a great honor to be with you today.
For those of you who don't know Dr. Lonnie Shipman, you're going, okay, so who is this guy? Dr. Shipman, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe you. I call you a Renaissance man, which to me is a huge compliment. He is an artist. He is a man of God. He is an adventurer. He is an author. He is a studious man, a man with multiple degrees, a background in education, a man who loves the arts, and who also loves the sciences. That's what we're going to talk about today. He and I have talked about the arts before, and today we're going to talk about his interest in the sciences, especially his interest in the soft science of archaeology, which just happens to be my thing.
Right.
So we have a nice connection here on this. Dr. Shipman, what has interested you in Bible archaeology?
Well, as a young man, when I first was called to preach, I was interested in everything about the Bible, and especially areas not always studied, such as Bible prophecy and archaeology, and trying to find out not only just the main things you would hear, but some of the deeper studies. And so I grew up in church. My father was a preacher before I was even born. So I started going to church when I was 2 weeks old. First youth camp, I was a month old. I was always in church. I was saved when I was six. Actually, I was trying to get saved when I was four. A little midget came to preach at the youth camp, and I liked him because he was little and I was little. And he was telling about how we're sinners. We need to come forward and get saved. And I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know how to get saved. So I came forward and prayed and confessed my sin at 4 years old at the camp, but didn't know how to believe in Jesus yet. And I kept going to church because my dad was a pastor. And at 6 years old, my dad preached one Sunday night about how many people confess their sin, but just confessing your sin doesn't save you. You have to know Jesus as your personal Savior and believe on Him with your heart. Repent and believe. And I realized I need to get saved. And by this time, I'd heard a lot more gospel. I knew if I didn't get saved, I would die and go to hell, be in the lake of fire. And on the way home, we were driving an hour home. We lived in Fort Worth, a church in Dallas. Driving on the interstate, we were driving. I kept imagining what would it be like to be thrown into a lake of fire. When I was 6 years old, I started crying and thinking any moment I might die, go to the lake of fire. Finally, I said, stop the car. Stop the car now. I've got to get saved. I've got to get saved now. Well, we're driving on the interstate. They said, we can't just stop the car now. We got to come to an exit. I don't care about an exit. I got to get saved now. Just about that moment, we came to the exit right where we lived. They took the exit, and just real quickly, 2 or 3 minutes, we got home. My father took the Bible, showed me how to be saved, and I was saved at six and have never doubted it since.
Oh, wow.
So I was raised in a church family. So then I later felt burdened to go, really, I wanted to go be a concert pianist. It was called to preach at 15, which surprised me. I was really still on. I couldn't imagine any pastor that played Beethoven. I couldn't imagine any concert pianist preaching. But then I started getting invitations to preach and do revivals. Many people would come to hear the piano, and I would just give them a simple sermon of the new birth of the cleansing blood, and people would be saved, and I was just amazed. So soon I went to Bible college and seminary, and there I tried to study deeper and deeper, and I was always interested in these extra areas because I'd heard the main studies of the Bible all my life, wanted to go deeper, and there was archaeology, one of the main studies. It's the evidence for the Word of God.
We have a saying in biblical archaeology that what archaeology does, it doesn't prove. What it does is illuminate the text.
It does, Yes.
So you have an interest, and we know some of the same people.
Right.
I think that's great. I have been able to hear you speak. I have been able to take a look at your work. You're putting in some of the things that are the fundamentals. We started here, and let me back up a moment. I love how I asked you a question about biblical archaeology, and you started with your testimony, because that's the foundation,
right?
That's the fundamentals.
For a believer.
Absolutely.
It's the evidence of the Word of God.
Exactly. So you know you have that relationship with God. So you know what He has written is true. You know what He has given us is real. And so we go back and we look in the records, in the archaeological record. I've been around with archaeology. There are certain things that I just take for granted that like, oh, okay, everybody knows this evidence or that evidence, but they don't. And one of the things you do is you bring it to a level to where if I don't know anything about this subject, then I can look at your book and it's an apologetics resource.
Really, I designed it originally. I was doing a doctorate at this time in theology, really in Bible prophecy, and I minored in archaeology. And so I really wrote two booklets originally. This turned into half of this book. They were smaller books, each 90 pages, to cover the main discoveries of archaeology going through the Bible chronologically. Because usually archaeology is taught by each country, or taught such as the certain time periods, the Iron Age or whatever age it is, and they would cover these ages. But I wanted to cover it chronologically with the Bible, so that a preacher or a Sunday school teacher could say, I'm over here in Judges, or I'm wherever they are in the Old Testament or New Testament. Is there anything they've found that parallels what I'm covering? Well, here it talks about the kings, and right here they found this. Fortify the Sunday school teaching. And then it was just such a rich study. I wrote and things like that. And then later, when the Lord opened the door for these publishing these books, I thought, well, I need to combine that, though, with the evidence of the Bible, Bible preservation of the manuscripts. So that's why I decided to do it that way, because archaeology goes together with God evidences the Word, and it preserves the Word. And it's all around the Bible.
Wow. It's taking it with the nuts and bolts, the basics, the building blocks, and putting them together in the right order. We understand, like most of us, you know, you go to Sunday school, you hear the stories, you see the flannel graph where Moses is parting the Red Sea and the children of Israel are going through. And then you go off to college, or maybe before, maybe somewhere before, and someone looks at you and says, yeah, this never happened.
Right.
This is all a bunch of fairy tales. This is made up. We have no evidence for the Exodus. The Red Sea never parted. That's ridiculous. That deflates us very quickly because a learned man or woman is telling us this.
I heard this exact story you're telling me at Oxford University at the Ashmolean Museum, one of the great museums of archaeology in the world. One of my favorites is actually, they have a saying about the Ashmolean because they have more mummies in the Ashmolean Museum than any other museum in the world. It's in Oxford. And so that's where you go see your mummy. It's a little saying.
Let me interrupt here for a second. As a child, I lived in the D.C. area for a while. And we would go to the Smithsonian, to the Museum of Natural History.
Right.
And I would stand there in the mummy room, and I would stare. I was fascinated by mummies, but I was terrified of mummies.
Okay.
Terrified. So I became an archaeologist. Go ahead.
So it's interesting. Well, so I was at Ashmolean, and Ashmolean Museum has one of the Fud tablets. And so first thing you do when you walk in is you walk in the door, and they show you on one side, they show you these ancient rocks. One rock they claim was, I forget how many, it was like, I don't remember if it was hundreds of millions or a billion years old or something. And they claimed that water had been washing on this rock for a billion years and never washed away. And I thought that was one of the funniest things I ever heard. That was the first thing they told me at the museum, because water had been washing but hadn't washed it away after hundreds of millions of years. Then the other side, they had dinosaurs. Well, here in Texas, where I'm from, in Texas, we have dinosaurs together with human footprints, showing they lived together, and you don't have it once. You have it 54 times.
Really?
54 trails of human footprints with dinosaur footprints together in Cretaceous stone near Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I've seen this, so I started bringing this up immediately. They didn't know what to say because it shows humans live simultaneous with dinosaurs. Then they took me to see other areas. When I saw the flood tablet, that was one of the ones. They have another one, of course, in the British Museum that's more famous, but similar to it. Some man came up and started mocking, and I said, well, this shows you ancient man believed in a flood.
Can we talk only that,
he believed in an ark and similar to the story.
For those who don't know what the flood tablets are, they're probably a little bit lost right now, going, what's he talking about? What's a flood tablet? Go ahead and explain to us about these tablets that have these writings on them from other cultures. Right. We have the Bible, so explain a flood tablet.
Well, there was a story called the Epic of Gilgamesh, 2,100 years, I believe it is, ago, if I remember right. Is it 21 or 31?
Tablets are from different ages.
Yes, and so these are Akkadian. They found the ancient. The first ones they found were Akkadian. And George Smith, who was 32 years old, was a self-taught young man who just loved to go to the museum in England called the British Museum. And so he would go and look at these cuneiform tablets, cuneiform, an early writing form that looks like wedges and sort of like arrow points. He would go and look at this and try to figure out how to read them. Soon he could read cuneiform better than the head of the museum. So he would try to put different parts of cuneiform together. And one day he was reading it, and he started reading a story about a man who went and built a boat like an ark. They went through a flood. After the flood, they came to rest. They started letting birds go and waiting until the birds came back. And it was a story very similar to the flood. He got so excited reading the story, he started pulling off his tie. They started opening his shirt. And he started pulling off his coat. And he was running around the room screaming in delight. He was the first person to read this story in 2,500 years.
Wow. I mean, imagine that. And finding... And this is interesting because people will say, oh, well, the Bible just copied the Epic of Gilgamesh. Or it just copied these other ancient Sumerian flood stories. And, you know, it's their own little version of it. It's not that at all, is it?
We know that the Bible was written, yes, by Moses around 1400, roughly, B.C. Maybe 1446, roughly, is when the Exodus happened. Sometime 1446 B.C. to 1400, when Moses collected the Pentateuch. And then other books after this, through the time of the New Testament, 95 A.D., when it was completed. But then also, the Bible previously had been given by oral tradition. So from the time of Adam through Abel and Seth and all these different believers, through Noah, they already knew the Word of God. That's why Abel brought a sacrifice to the Lord and Cain brought the wrong sacrifice. They'd already been taught. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews, Abel already was righteous. In other words, he was a believer. They were called righteous believers in the Old Testament before the time of the law. And so he was already saved because he had believed in the Lord, believing in a coming Redeemer. They were looking for a coming Redeemer. They didn't know much about it, but there was somehow going to be this promised Redeemer to be the Savior of the world.
So, okay, this is great, and we're going to continue with this in just a moment. We're going to take a minute for a commercial here. We're going to call it. That's not really a commercial. So we're going to talk about, you can visit us at swrc.com, go to the bookstore, and you can find the resources from Dr. Lonnie Shipman. Some music CDs, we have his book, Heaven's Orchestra, The Stars Sing Praise to God, but he also has these two resources on biblical archaeology, biblical history. We have King of Books, that's your most recent,
right.
The Bible in History and Archaeology. We have Treasure and the Coming Temple of God, Finding the Ark and Ashes, and that's, of course, the ashes of the red heifer.
Right.
Really cool stuff. We got to talk today earlier. He was talking about the red heifers, and of course, they've got a few in Israel right now, mm-hmm. and some of them are being kept where I dig at Shiloh. This is so cool.
Amazing.
How the world works and how everything just comes together when you read the Bible mm-hmm. and you see this history, the things that are working out. So we were talking about the Epic of Gilgamesh and the flood account in the Bible, the flood mm-hmm. tablets. Mm-hmm. They were written by different Sumerian cultures. We were talking about Moses writing at the time of the Exodus, which we would put around 1400 BC, 1446, just depending on your
dating of the Exodus.
Right. And so these things are recorded in history. They're recorded in the Bible. And first of all, anyone who says, well, yeah, but the ancient sources don't say so. Well, the Bible's an ancient, it's not just one ancient source. We have 66 ancient sources in the Bible.
Well, we not only have that. In many manuscripts, they have only sometimes 1 to 18 copies of an ancient manuscript of some of the most famous ones we know of Rome, of Greece. For instance, there is no original Aristotle from Aristotle's time. The earliest we have of Aristotle is 800 years after, or almost 1,000 years after Aristotle, translated into Arabic, not even in Greek.
Wow.
And so they're looking for an earlier Greek. And so there's many famous writings. We don't have the earliest manuscripts.
And nobody
the Bible,
questions this. But,
well, yes, exactly. The Iliad and Odyssey, that's the most we have, almost 700. But most of the time, we have 10 or less. Sometimes only one, two, or three copies of some ancient writing. And often, we have it very incomplete. A few chapters of a longer book, maybe it's 20 chapters, we might have three. It's typical. And so this happens over and over. Yet in the Bible, we have 25,000 ancient manuscripts. We have almost 6,000 ancient Greek manuscripts. So there's no doubt, and then copies in Roman, in Latin, and other languages.
That is amazing. We have the textual evidence.
Right.
And we also have the archaeological
evidence
that goes along with it. You mention a number of finds, and I was looking at the different ones you're talking about in here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I love that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite archaeological evidence that correlates the Bible?
Well, that's an interesting thing. There's so many. What I think was amazing was when I was be preaching in Europe, I would go see the museums like the Louvre or the British Museum. When you walk in, they constantly have, they're full of evidence for the Bible. Everywhere you look, here's the gates, here's the descriptions. They have a picture of Jehu, the king, from the Black Obelisk of Shalmaneser III. They have the fingerprint of Baruch from basically a jar seal, who was a scribe helping Jeremiah. There's just many, many things. They have found the remains of a crucified man in Jerusalem from the time of Jesus. And, of course, there's a Skull Hill and the Garden Tomb, many, many things. They have the church sitting over the cave they know where Jesus was born. They don't know exactly where in the cave. It doesn't matter. He was born in that cave somewhere. And the reason they know it's the stable, it's the only cave with a water source. So it's where they kept the animals, and the remains over the cave was the inn.
Wow.
So they found all just on and on. Whatever story you want to look at, you find evidence throughout the Bible of these things.
It's amazing. If you've never been to Israel, you can drive down the road. You can start pointing out sites just as you drive.
Everywhere.
And these aren't guesses. These are, we know this is the place this happened.
Mm-hmm.
We are at the end of our discussion today. Dr. Shipman, just tell us really quickly what your resources are on this. Tell us just a little about those.
Well, in Israel, when I was preaching in 92, I was invited to preach by the top engineer of the F-16 fighter jet program. He introduced me to the top rabbis and archaeologists of Israel. I interviewed the top rabbis and toured 8 of the 11 Dead Sea Scroll caves, and that's where the Treasure and Temple of God book come from. Later, I was also able to study archaeology and Bible college and all this. Also, see early collections of the Bible. I even myself have a collection. So see how the manuscripts have been preserved. And so my love of this is why the King of Books came about.
That is amazing. Well, thank you so much for providing us with resources. God has given you a gift. You're an artist. You're a scientist. You're a Renaissance man. Everyone, thank you so much. We've been visiting with Lonnie Shipman today. Dr. Lonnie Shipman, an amazing man, an author, a man who loves the Lord. Come to swrc.com. Visit the bookstore. That's swrc.com. And you can find Dr. Shipman's books and CDs on our bookstore. Dr. Shipman, thank you one more time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. God bless.
Dr. Lonnie Shipman has traveled the world and brings his experiences and research to his latest work, The Bible, King of Books. The Bible has influenced the morals, government, worldview, culture, language, and literature of the nations, as well as the growth of the churches and spiritual lives of the people. King of Books by Lonnie Shipman reveals the Bible in archaeology and history. Order King of Books today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Dr. Larry Spargimino comes now to share the latest update on our mission outreach in Pakistan.
Pastor Victor Samuel is our guest. He's going to speak to us about Grace Charity School in Pakistan. It's a wonderful ministry reaching young, underprivileged boys and girls in Pakistan. The kids get a wonderful education and learn the things that will enable them to make a living. And in addition to that, they're learning the Bible and about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great ministry, and it is at a place that needs a strong Christian witness. Pastor Victor, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Yes, hello, Pastor Larry, and hello, everyone who are listening. May God bless you. It's always a pleasure to be able to speak with you guys.
Well, Pastor Victor, tell us why the ministry of Grace Charity School is so important to these boys and girls. What are you hoping to accomplish in their lives?
Well, as you know, that the poverty here in Pakistan is so bad, especially when you talk about the little children. They are forced to work at the bricklanes, also in the shops. You and me, you started this educational ministry here in Pakistan in September 2010, and since that we've been reaching out to these children and we've been rescuing them from the child labor. Yeah. And also so many other activities they could have gotten involved, you know, especially the sex trafficking, and also they could have been in trouble also maybe in other activities, in bad activities. So that's why we started this school, so that we can keep them in our schools to rescue them for their better future, and especially the most importantly, so that they can get to know Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. I praise the Lord for this school where they are learning about the Jesus, learning about the Word of God, and also learning about the English, mathematics, and other formal educational subjects. And I'm proud of them. They are doing wonderful. It is only possible because of your generosity, your donations. Otherwise, I don't know, and I can't even imagine how could I have done this so far.
Yes.
It is only because of you and your generosity. Thank you so much.
Well, we are certainly deeply indebted to our listeners, and I know many of them are concerned. I must say, some of the pictures that you have sent me, they're so wonderful to see how clean they are, how neat they are, to hear them recite scripture, to hear them speak in English and Urdu. It is really inspirational to see what the Lord has done through you and through the teachers. You have classes 5 days a week, is that correct?
Not five, but 6 days.
Okay.
We do have the classes on Saturday as well. But the Sundays we take off because of the Sunday service, and also for everyone to get a 1 day off from the school.
Well, friends, you can mail your gift to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 835, Bluff City, Tennessee, 37618, or you can make a telephone donation, 1-800-652-1144. If you have further questions about Grace Charity School, please write to me at larry@swrc.com. How are the kids doing in math and science and English? I know we have a computer lab for them, a science lab and so forth. Tell us about some of the things that they're learning and some of the things that they're doing in school.
Yes, they are doing all very good, and especially as you know that nowadays they're giving their annual tests, where after these tests they get promoted to the next grade.
Yes.
And they're doing wonderful. They're learning wonderfully. The stuff is really wonderful. You know, most importantly, they are learning about Lord Jesus, and especially we have a three-time a prayer at school.
Yes.
They learn how to worship, and also they recite the verses from the Bible, and they memorize them. The teachers help them to memorize the Bible verses.
Wow.
Yes, and also we teach them the manners, the good manners, and how they can be a good citizen. They can be a good young boys and girls.
Yes, amen.
They're doing wonderful. The little older children are learning from the lab, the computer lab, and also from the science lab. The teacher conducts the practicals from the science subjects.
Wow, that's fantastic. I know they're getting certainly a tremendous education, plus learning the Bible and learning about Jesus. Now, Pastor Victor, what are some of the needs of the school at the present time? For example, you do need new textbooks, right? And, of course, you're seeking to pay the teachers and to finish the new building. Tell us about that.
Yes, Pastor Larry, as you know, I have requested already to you that this is the time when we purchase every year the books for the whole children, the both schools' children, and the note copies, stationery, uniform, and desks. And I want to tell you all that we have around 700 children right now in both schools. This is a big number of children.
Yes.
We are praying for $7,500 for the whole year's books and note copies and stationery and uniform for all these children. On the other hand, you know that without books and note copies, we cannot teach them for the next session, for the next year.
Yes.
This is a really great need right now for us. Another is that we are building a campus that we already told you guys about before. This campus is under construction and we had to stop the work because we did not have funds, and we are praying for the big gift that is really needed. And when we will have that funds, we will be able to finish the work at campus. At least we will be able to rescue the more 400 children, because we can have the more children in the new campus.
Yes.
So we are looking for at least $50,000 to complete the work at the campus.
Yes, well, it's an amazing work, to say the least. Friends, if you could help, and I'm really appealing to you, this is a desperate need. I know the finances are tight with everyone, but pray to the Lord, ask the Lord what He would have you to give. These are boys and girls who are growing up in Pakistan, learning how to live in society, but also learning about Jesus Christ. So you can mail your gift to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 835, Bluff City, Tennessee, 37618, or you can make a telephone donation, 1-800-652-1144. By the way, if you have further questions, I'd love to speak with you. You can call us, 1-800-652-1144, or send me an email at larry@swrc.com. Pastor Victor, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for always caring and loving us. We appreciate you and appreciate your love and support.
King of Books by Lonnie Shipman reveals the Bible in archaeology and history. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. The Bible is the world's most amazing book. Supernaturally given by God, it is the Word of God. It is a living book that can speak the words of God directly to the hearts of those who hear or read it. King of Books by Lonnie Shipman. Order today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.